Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Who knows that in the midst of all of the stuff, the baubles and the Christmas trees and the, whatever you call that stuff you hang around them, and tinsel and all that. You don't see much tinsel around these days. We notice that. It's kind of out of fashion at the moment. But in the midst of all of that, it's easy to lose sight of the cross. Yeah. Amen. You know, Jesus came as that baby into this world, but he came with a purpose. And all of us were born with a purpose. And it's important that we understand what our purpose is. But anyway, let's go to the scripture this morning. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he, I've said this before, isn't that amazing? God didn't just have to find a Mary, he also had to find a Joseph. But while he thought about it, that's very important. It's important when you're thinking about marriage and all these things. You understand it. You might be a Mary, but you need to find yourself a Joseph. Amen. You might be a Joseph, but you need to find yourself a Mary. I'll tell you why. I didn't mean to say that, but I just got out of here. Anyway, hallelujah. Because I'll tell you why. He says, while he thought about these things, that he was a just man. He was a good guy, but all of a sudden he's landed with this situation where he discovers that the girl that he's engaged to is already pregnant. And he knows it ain't nothing to do with him. Because he knows that they've kept them, as far as he was concerned, they kept themselves pure. Something's happened. But while he thought about these things, he didn't, see that's another thing, he wasn't a reactionary. He didn't just jump in there with both feet and say, that's the end of that, and whatever. But anyway, when he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. I love the Lord, the way he keeps saying that to us, isn't it amazing? Do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. When you're looking for your Joseph, make sure you find someone who understands the Holy Spirit and how he operates and how he functions and how to hear from God. You need someone who can hear from God, not someone who can hear from religious tosh, rubbish, nonsense, hogwash. Not someone who can learn a bunch of doctrines with all their I's dotted and their T's crossed. No, no, no. Someone who can hear from God. Yes. Hear from God in regards to things that look, what he hears is totally contrary to what he can see. But he believes what God says over what he sees. Yes. That's good preaching. Feel free to say amen anytime you like.
We're on the edge of
our seat. Hallelujah. I love it. I love it. Hallelujah. Amen. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And he would have heard Yeshua, of course, which basically means God is salvation. It means deliverance. It means the Lord saves. For he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of, it's not enough to be able to hear from God, you need someone who will act on what they hear. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, that is, see, when you know that you're acting on what God has said, you have complete and total and utter confidence, and nothing can shake you from that. Oh, you will be, some things will try and shake you and move you from that. But when you know you've heard from God, nothing will shake you from that. That's why you must never step out into anything that just seems like a good idea.
Right.
Even in the kingdom of God, you must know you've heard from God, because when you know that you've heard from God, nothing will be able to shift you from what God has said. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Then Joseph being aroused from sleep, deadness. There was going to be a lot of opposition. As that bump began to grow, there was going to be a lot of accusation. There was going to be a lot of finger point. There was going to be a lot of nudge, nudge, wink, wink going on. He needed to know that he heard from God. And then he acted on what he heard. Joseph being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her. You're talking here about a man. Come on, flesh and blood. If you believe everything you hear about men, then this is a miracle. Did not know her. In the midst of all of the stuff, you think, you say, at least I deserve this. I mean, I'm getting talked about, I'm getting fingers pointed at me, surely. Come on. You could have justified that in your own mind if you went into your soul for half a minute. You'd be in there and say, oh, well, come on. I'm having to put up with all this stuff and I'm getting nothing out of it. Come on. Let's get real. It's Christmas. You know what real Christmas is, don't you? Let's get dig down deep to the reality of Christmas. And did not tell her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. Did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Can you imagine? Wow. When he released the name? Mm. With all the finger pointing going on? With all that, come on, as far as these people were concerned, this child was as far away from redeeming them from their sins as anybody. Yeah. As far as they were concerned, they'd already judged this child to be a child of sin.
Yeah. That's right.
Conceived out of wedlock. Mm-hmm. Call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Who knows? According to Romans 3:23, sin is defined as falling short of the glory of God, or missing out on God's glory. And let me just say this one, sin is the action motivated by unbelief. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe, you will sin. The only way to avoid sin is to believe what God has said. And that's why Jesus, who came to save us from our sins, and not only from our sins, but from the devastating result of our sins, which is missing God's glory, said two words, only believe. Remember what the angels at his birth proclaimed, Luke chapter 2, verses 13 to 14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. On earth peace, on earth shalom, on earth nothing missing, nothing broken. Heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. That's God's perfect will for all men. Shalom. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. Heaven on earth. Jesus closed the gap between heaven and earth. Jesus closed the gap, the great gulf that sin had created. Jesus came from heaven to earth and closed that gap forever. And that's why he said when his disciples asked him how to teach them how to pray, they knew how to pray good Jewish prayers. They were raised, all of them, I believe, were raised in Jewish homes. They knew how to pray Jewish Old Covenant prayers. But they said, hang on a minute, something's different. The way things are happening in your life, you must be praying different prayers than ours. So will you not please teach us how to pray? And he said, pray this way. And for years now, I've called this the prayer of alignment. And the reason I call that is because there are two parallel kingdoms right now. There's the kingdom of heaven, and there's the kingdom of this world. And when you are born again, say, I'm born again. When you're born again, you become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, and you also become an alien in the kingdom of this world. That's why when you talk kingdom of heaven language, you sound like an alien. Because you are. Come on. Sometimes the tragedy is, even in the church, you're treated like an alien because of the way you're talking. They think you're talking alienese. Because you are.
That's right.
So you just have to align yourself with the right kingdom. Our Father in heaven. You've got a revelation, he's our Father. Why? Because you call his name Emmanuel, God with us. It's all plural. Sometimes in the church we turn it into this great individualistic thing, but it's not, it's plural. In the beginning, God said, let us. God said, let us make an us. It's not good for man to be alone because there's no us there. Come on. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's worship. Worship aligns you. Our Father, that brings you in heaven. That brings you in alignment with his throne. Hallowed be your name. There's only one thing you can do in his presence, and that's worship. Reverence him. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, the bread of heaven. Man shall not live by physical bread alone, but by every word that God speaks. Feed me your word this morning. Because I know if I've fed your word, that will ensure that I will have access to everything that I need as a kingdom citizen and as an alien in this world. Amen. Come on, somebody. You see, before Jesus came, God was in heaven and man was on the earth. And under the old, we need to hear this, under the old covenant, only one man could enter into God's presence one day a year. And he could only survive that experience if he had thoroughly prepared himself, otherwise he would die. And anyone who went in there to try and bring him out would also die. So they tied a rope to his ankle just in case he hadn't prepared himself, and he died in there so they could pull and yank him out and drag him out. But you shall call his name Jesus. As we were in worship and singing these Christmas Carol's songs this morning, I was thinking, wow. Because it wasn't a random thing that shepherds came. Yeah. Why? Because the Lamb of God had just been born into this world.
Hallelujah.
It was no random thing that kings came from the east to welcome him into this world. Why? Because the King of Kings had just been born. Yeah. Come on, somebody, what a random thing.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
None of it was random. Before Jesus came, God was in heaven and man was on the earth. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You see, we need to understand Jesus changed everything. You hear what I'm saying? Not just some things, some of the time. He changed everything for all time, for eternity. Romans 3. I already alluded really to Romans 3:23, but let's hear that in context right now. Romans 3, verse 21 to 26. But now, say now.
Now.
Say now.
Now.
Now. Say now.
Now.
Now. Come on. Now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. What did Jesus say? Only believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Being justified, you know how religion still wants to lift that verse out of there, separate it and just say, you're a wicked sinner, you're always going to fall short of the glory of God, so just learn to live with that pathetic reality. Nothing much is really going to change. But don't worry, you've got a wee ticket stamped with heaven in your back pocket, and one day you'll get lifted out of this mess. But up until then, don't expect anything different. I tell you, the church is still selling people a lie very often.
Yeah.
I just read something the other day, I just read it very briefly, but Bill Johnson, you know Bill Johnson from Bethel Church in California, has had to issue a statement because one of their worship leaders, one of their a child, a baby, had died at 2 years old without warning. And they had asked the church to come and agree with them for the child to be raised from the dead. And the amount of flack that started to come in, not from the world, from the church. I don't know the nature, but I can imagine some of it. So he had to issue a statement. It was a very gracious statement. He was just restating their possession. They were believing God for what God... He was just bringing people back to the Word of God.
Yeah.
How far can you wander from the Word? Come on. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Realign me. Give us today our daily bread. Part of that is raising the dead.
Yeah.
Why? Because Jesus said to raise the dead.
Yeah.
As you go, preach this message. Hey, we're coming into 2020, the year of unashamedly proclaiming. We've got to proclaim Jesus died so that the dead who had died prematurely can be raised again to live out the fullness of their days. I tell you, I'm getting really, really, really angry on the inside. As I encounter precious children of God who have been robbed by the church.
Yes.
Of their inheritance in Christ. The fullness of that inheritance. Who are accepting something way, way below their inheritance. And accepting it as coming from the hand of God. And there's never been a bigger lie sold. Ever. I know it's Christmas, but... ho, ho, ho. I ain't ho, ho, in that mess. I'll tell you, I'm not for nothing. It's no laughing matter. I'm meeting them everywhere I go. And I'm getting, oh, come on. I've realized in some people who've been Christians for years, you actually have to bring them right back. You have to strip them back. Just like the Lord said to Jeremiah, you've got to throw down some things, cast down, destroy. You've got to strip all of that mess away, all of that false junk that they've been clothed with. You've got to strip them and start again. If you buy an old vintage car and you want to renovate it, do it up or whatever, you can't just paint the rust. No, you strip it all back. You start with it. And you rebuild it. Remember what the Lord said? Come on. What was the word he gave me 7 years ago? I've been saying it. Rebuild the church from the ground up. You've got to get back to the foundation. Strip everything else away. Get back to the foundation and start building according to God's plan. That's just the word of God, that is. That's all. I don't mean that's all.
Thank you, Lord.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by it, just as if we never sinned. Boom! Freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. To demonstrate at the present time, say at the present time, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Don't you dare ever again call someone a sinner who Jesus has justified.
That's right.
Who God has declared righteous. And that's why at this time, again, I believe there's actually three little words of one syllable. I've said this before, I just love how God says that the most profound, the deepest, the most powerful things are very often in words of one syllable. So I believe there's actually three little words of one syllable that I believe sum up the true wonder of the Christmas message. Now, if you're a romantic girl like Katrina, you might think I'm talking about I love you. Three little one syllable words. And I suppose the three words I'm talking about could actually be perceived as being synonymous with that statement. In fact, they are, I believe, synonymous with that statement. And the words are found in the verses we read earlier in Matthew chapter 1, previously spoken, of course, by the prophet Isaiah. But in Matthew 1:22-23, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. You may wonder, how is God with us? Synonymous with I love you, because you want to be with those you love. Is that true? Is that true? That's why families are gathering together from all different corners of the world and country and city or town or village together for Christmas Day, because they want to be with those they love. God, in the Amplified Bible, John 3:16, it says, God so, I think it's so dearly loved and greatly prized the world. God so loved us that he gave so that he could be with us. Listen to this, please. So that he could be with us in time and we could be with him for eternity. Oh, halabashaka musa. Come on, if I don't. Come on. It's that exciting. He has come to chaperone us through this life and at the end of it to take us to be with him forever. Oh, hallelujah. Who knows that in the kingdom of the world, people look and people look forward to Christmas. We look forward to Christmas for many different reasons. For these family reunions I spoke about, some people just want it's a big one big party, you know. Let the party begin. You know, I can't wait for Christmas. Why? Because that's when the party starts. And most people, they'll invest a lot of time, they'll invest a lot of effort, even a lot of finances into making a, what they like to say, a time to remember. Memories are made at Christmas, you know what I'm saying? But to the honest, the truth of that is that at best it will be no more than a temporary relief from everyday life. And then it will be all over for another year. In fact, for a lot of people, it will end in unfulfilled dreams, unrealized wish lists. Have you ever been, you know, the husband's been dropping hints for the wife for 6 months, 9 months, maybe even the whole year about what he'd really like for Christmas. Just hints, you know. But you know, the price, you know, that subtle. Men aren't good at subtle hints. Women are better at subtle hints. And then he waits, you know, with a great anticipation for the fulfillment of all of his hard work and dropping all of these hints. It's not there. This doesn't look like what I asked for, but anyway, I rip it open, anyway, he rips off the paper and he tries to look excited, but it's like, And I can add another way around, you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes it'll end up even with shattered dreams or broken hearts and relationships. Things very often break up around this time. For others, it'll be a time of tragedy. Why? Because the devil doesn't take a holiday. The devil doesn't take a Christmas break from stealing, killing, and destroying. That's what he does.
Yeah, that right. Wow.
Mm-hmm. I was saying, right about the 20th of December, it's always a difficult time for me because my father died on the 20th of December. And I get hit with all kinds of stuff coming up to that time and around that time, and we were on the other side of that again, praise the Lord. But it's always a devil. I don't share that. I'm just sharing that with you because maybe you're struck. I don't know why I said that, but for me, it's just a difficult time. And you very often the general consensus at the end of it all will be that, oh, well, Christmases aren't what they used to be. You ever hear people say that? You ever said it? You ever thought it? But then as the months pass from one Christmas to the next, you know, we're kind of, there's this kind of growing optimism that maybe this year will be different, you know. But you see, the reason that Christmas fails to deliver for most people is because they've taken Christ out of Christmas.
That's right.
And left this big black hole that nothing can fulfill. Nothing can fill. Because they've either never known or they've forgotten that the message of Christmas is these three little one-syllable words, God with us. And the good news I have for this morning, because come on now, we always carry good news, don't we?
Yeah.
We came here this morning to hear good news, didn't we? Well, the good news this morning is that it is Christmas Day every day.
Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah.
In the kingdom, remember there's these two parallel kingdoms. There's the kingdom of heaven and there's the kingdom of this world. And in the kingdom of this world, they have Christmas Day one day a year. And it can create all kinds of chaos. It can be enjoyable or it can be a disaster. But in the kingdom of heaven, it's Christmas Day every day. Days of shalom.
Yes.
Days of God's perfect will for our lives with nothing missing and nothing broken. Days of heaven on earth.
Yes.
Not one day, every day. You notice that Jesus said the church is to be the light of the world. But he also said something else. He said, if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness.
Yeah.
But they haven't got a new torch and not been careful enough and not bothered looking at the battery bay to see what way the battery's going, and you've forgotten what the negative bit looks like and the positive bit looks like, and you just ram them in and then you go shaking the thing, you know. You're just about to jump on it. When you think, hang on a minute, maybe I haven't put the batteries in the right way. So you reopen the battery compartment, and some torches that's easier than others, and you turn them around, and lo and behold, bing, oh, oops, just as well, I didn't jump on it. The only reason the torch wasn't producing any light is because the batteries were in the wrong way.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're not producing the light. Because sometimes things are a little bit out of order. We've got things the wrong way around.
Yeah.
Our light's gone out. Even though, just like the torch, we actually already have all of the component parts necessary to produce light.
Yes.
Just that things have got a little bit out of order. Everything's there. Everything's working, but it's not working. Ready to work. It should be working, but something's been turned the wrong way around. And any time there's a disconnect in the church, it's always due, always, I know I've said this many times, but it's always due to a failure to take God at His word. Because the entrance of God's word, according to Psalm 119, I think it's verse 130, the entrance of God's word brings light. It gives understanding even to the simple. Don't you love these three little one-syllable words, God with us? That means it's Christmas Day every day. The days of God's perfect will being outworked in our lives with nothing missing, nothing broken. It's days of heaven on earth. Where? In the kingdom. Jesus said, go preach this message. The kingdom of heaven just grew up alongside you. Now you can stay in the kingdom of this world suffering under all that stuff, or you can make a transaction. You can emigrate. You can start a brand new life. In another kingdom.
Yeah.
Only believe that Jesus came to be God with us.
Yeah.
To bring days of heaven on earth. Come on, somebody. Anytime there's a disconnect in the church, it's due to a failure to take God at His word. The word of His power. It's not the power of His word, it's the word of His power.
Right.
I said there's a major difference there, you know. There's been a failure to take hold of the sure and certain hope that His word gives us for supernatural deliverance.
Yeah.
You will call His name Jesus. God is salvation, deliverance, healing. And that comes about, let's call it the way God calls it. God calls it an evil heart of unbelief. You love the way he doesn't miss it, hit the wall. He puts His finger right on it. An evil heart of unbelief. And unbelief is the root of sin. And sin will always cause us to fall short of and to miss out on God's glory.
Yes.
To miss out on days of shalom. To miss out on days of God's perfect will for our lives with nothing missing and nothing broken. It will cause us to miss out of the days that He's planned for us of heaven on earth. Every day. Christmas Day. Every day. God with us. Every day. That's got to change something. That's why we must never separate the Word of God from the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they're always designed to work together.
That's right.
Some people, oh, well, we're Word people. You're Holy Spirit people. Eh? Pardon? Oh, well, we're Word people, you know, we're just Word, we're people of the Word, you know. You'll never wrestle that Word out of us. Might not appear to be working for us very well, but we're Word people, bruh. But you people, you're Holy Spirit people, you know, and you're always a bit strange, and you're always a bit there. You know, you start speaking the truth of God's Word, and all of a sudden you're on the fringe. You're on the edge, you're just a little bit suspect, you know what I'm saying? One of them cuckoo kind of, holy roller kind of guys, you know what I'm saying? No. God's design for us is for us to be Word and Holy Spirit people.
Yeah, right.
Remember what Jesus said about religious tradition? So it's the only thing that can separate the word from the power and render it ineffective. And I want to tell you, it really has done a number on the reality represented by these three simple words, God with us. And so the focus, and you hear this please, the focus has changed. Things have turned the other way around, and the focus has changed to people thinking, and because they think this, they speak it. Because they think it and speak it, they begin to act it out, and it's turned around to be more as though it is about us with God. That's not the message of Emmanuel, us with God. If you start thinking that way, we'll get it in a moment. If you start thinking that way, it'll change everything. It's God with, say God with us. Because it's become about more us with God, it has become about heaven when we die. Us with God. And it is about the manifestation of heaven on earth, God with us.
Amen.
Why? Because religion, and I know I've said this before, but religion never allows you to live in the now of your salvation. It always has you looking back to history or looking forward to some future time.
Hallelujah.
You see, if we think it's more about us with God, then we will spend our time trying to get and keep ourselves right so that we don't lose our place with Him. So that we don't lose our relationship with Him. And we'll be motivated more by fear than by faith. Come on. Jesus said, boom, God with us. Jesus came as God with us. He came to justify us freely so that all of the sin problems are all removed forever. Amen. That which separated us from God is removed from ever, forever. It's all good news from now on. He kept saying it. Do not be afraid. Fear not. Do not be afraid. Fear not. Fear not. Do not be afraid. Be afraid of nothing. Be anxious for nothing. It's all good news from now on, folks. Once you come into that parallel kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. Oh, in the world you'll have much tribulations. That's what you need to remember. You've stepped out of the kingdom into the world. Get back up where you belong. Because I've overcome the world. I've set up a new kingdom. It's parallel with the kingdom of the world, but it's above it. Komo shakama. Come back up here. Boom, your smile's restored. Your joy is restored. Your peace is restored. You're back in days of shalom. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. Christmas Day. Every day. Days of heaven on earth. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, I hope you brought your dancing shoes. It's time to get a wee bit of fringe going on here. Come on. And you've been labeled it already. Start acting like it. Come on.
The party's on.
Kobo Shabbat. Party time all the time. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
The very first words of the Christmas message are fear not. Why? Because it's all good news. From now on. When we grasp that it is God with us, it changes everything. It's all about Him. What we've been talking about prophetically, about this new prophetic declaration we've been given for this year, 2020. Hallelujah. 5780 2020. It's about proclaiming who He is and what He is able to do.
Yeah.
What He is doing and what He can do. Come on. Because He has taken His place with us. And He has promised never to abandon us. Matthew 28:20, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And He finishes it off with a resounding amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews, this is good news. God with us. Come on, somebody. God with us. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13, verse 5. For He Himself has said, who said it? He said it. Nobody else made it up. He said it. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God with us all the time. When you get hold of that, you can't accept anything else but blessing. You can't accept anything else but healing.
Yeah.
You can't accept anything else but deliverance.
Yeah.
From every oppressive influence.
Yeah.
I sickness, bang, bang, bang away at your door. Hey, wrong house, pal. Wrong kingdom. Get out of here. In the name of Jesus, you lying rat. Come on, get out of here. Come to the right. Go bang some doors in the world if you want. Hopefully they'll get the revelation that they're in the wrong house. But come on, some, you're not coming in here.
The kingdom lives here.
Oh, you're a sick of have you got a cold? No, I don't. No, no cold lives right here.
Amen.
You sure? I'm sure. Oh, I'll tell you, I'm more than sure. I'm absolutely certain.
Absolutely.
Oh, but I heard you scared here. I heard you sneeze. God was only trying to get one of you healings to bless me. That's all he was trying to do. Hallelujah. Amen. For he himself has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. He's the one that's promising that he's with us. God with us. Christmas Day, every day. Days of shalom. Days of God's perfect will worked in our lives. Come on. With nothing missing. Nothing broken. Days of heaven on earth. John 14:18. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. We have a good father. We have a father who's the giver of every good. See, some of you are even looking at me like I'm talking like an alien. E.T., come home.
You
need to hear the Father calling you home. If you think I'm talking like an alien, you've been away from home too long.
Yeah.
You've learned another language.
Yeah,
in a different place. So there's a part of you that doesn't think I'm talking like an alien. There's a part of you that's struggling to come back into the place where it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Where that a big amen comes out of you when you hear that. Because what you're doing is you're taking what I'm saying and you're bringing it down to the level of your experience, because you're still experiencing what the devil has for you in the kingdom of the world. You're still experiencing his plans for you, which are never for good. They're always for evil. They're never to prosper you. They're always to hurt you one way or another. But Jesus said, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, so that nothing shall by any means hurt you. That you won't experience that in the kingdom of the world. You have to change kingdoms. You have to realign yourself with the kingdom of heaven. Come home, E.T. So I'm not sure she tells what that stood for, E.T. I think I've had a realization that once upon a time. Hallelujah. You need to understand he is Father Christmas. And God with us. So it's Christmas Day every day. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. That's why we should never fall back into thinking it's down to us. Come on. All we bring is our faith. All we bring is our belief and our expectancy that he will do what he has promised to do.
Right.
And what he alone can do.
Yeah.
He's the only one that can do it.
That's right.
Amen. Stop scrambling around trying to get something to work. He's the only one that can do it. And he's promised he will do it. Just realign yourself with the throne. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth, right here, right now, as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
And if all of our scrabbling and scratching around in the world has caused us to allow unforgiveness to build in us, then deliver us from that right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Even as we forgive us our mess ups, as we release everyone else from their mess ups. Hallelujah. Because it's not without the realms of possibility that all of us will mess up. At some point. Some of us more frequently than others. God with us, Christmas Day, every day. Remember what Jesus said? He said, you guys are going to do the same works that I did. We got excited when we heard that, didn't we? Come on. So why do we run around trying to do the same works, and yet a lot of the time we fail miserably? I've got a wee special present for you this Christmas. It's not anything new. If you've been around here a while, you've probably heard it before. Because I believe we forgot something else that he said. We just took what he said. See, some people just take the first thing they hear from God and think they can make a life out of that. You know, they have favourite little scriptures. That's why I like to read the word all the way through, beginning to end, beginning to end, beginning to end, beginning to end, just so I don't miss anything. So there's nothing missing, nothing broken. So I'm not trying to build a life in one scripture when there's more to it than that. There's more revelation concerning it than that. Try to build a house with one brick and live in it. You won't do it. Come on. Oh, I built a new house, did you? Oh, yeah, yeah. Would you like to come round? Oh, yeah, I'd love to come round. Whoa, yeah, you go round, there's one brick. You're saying, is this it? This is it? Come on in. Well, okay, step over the brick. Are we in now? It's still raining. I'm still freezing cold, the wind's still blowing. Is this it? Oh, this is it? I mean, come on, how crazy is that? I know some Christians have been Christians for years because they only quote one scripture. And they don't even always get that one right. I'm not mocking them. I'm just saying, come on. It's time to grow up. We forgot something else that he said that allows us a clearer insight into how that will actually happen with guaranteed success. Because Jesus never got it wrong. It always worked for him. And he said, the same works that I do, you will do also, and they'll also always work for you. I guess that's what he was saying. John 14:10, do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does the works. Jesus was saying that the Father would do the same works through us that he did through him. Not that we would do the same works in our strength, no matter how much faith we try to squeeze out of it. Come on, fingertips. Remember what it says in Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and bringing healing to the oppressed. Why? Because God was with him. What's the good news? God with us, just like he was with him. God was with him doing the works. And now God is with us, and so it's Christmas Day every day, days of shalom, days of God's perfect will for our lives with nothing missing, nothing broken, days of heaven on earth. Christ the Anointed One with his anointing of the Holy Spirit and of power is in us, and we can expect the manifestation of God's glory and the expression of his supernatural goodness. Listen up, folks, because 2020, 5, 7, 8, oh, 2020 is the year of unashamedly proclaiming the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the good news of his kingdom, heaven on earth. Hallelujah. Paul says this to Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 to 27. I need to hurry this one up. I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. God with us means that it is Christmas Day every day, a day for the manifestation of God's glory. Days of shalom, days of God's perfect will for our lives and for others, with nothing missing and nothing broken. Days of heaven on earth. There's a few verses here, there's a lot in this. So, the Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 to 20. Thus God, determined to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability, the unchangeableness. Remember what God gave you years ago, I passed it on to you many times, the immutables. Who remembers the immutables? Remember the immutables? I'm not a sinner trying to get righteous. I am the righteousness of God with power and authority in Jesus' name to resist sin. I am not the sick trying to get healed. I am the healed. I was born again, as healed as I'll ever be, with power and authority in Jesus' name to resist sickness in all of every shape and form. Come on, somebody. I'm not the oppressed or the possessed or the depressed or anything else trying to get delivered. I am the delivered with power and authority in Jesus' name to resist every manner of oppression or every oppression and session that the enemy can think of and chuck at me. Amen. We're not the poor trying to get prosperous. Joe reminds us this morning, too, we're not the poor trying to get prosperous. We are the prosperous with power and authority to resist poverty, the curse of poverty in our lives. Authority in Jesus' name to resist that curse. The unchangeableness of His counsel confirmed it by an oath. That we're not even the dying trying to live. Amen. We're the ones we've received life, eternal life already. To resist death. There's one for you. Resist death at every turn. Resist it. It's the enemy. It's an enemy. Even Christians try and welcome death as some kind of escape or deliverance. No, it's an enemy. We have power and authority in Jesus' name to resist death. No, I don't know. Well, you better get a hold of it. You sound like an alien. Well, I am. And if I'm an alien to you, you're in trouble. If I sound like an alien to you, you're in trouble. But that can change. Just get yourself realigned. By two immutable, unchangeable things, in that it is impossible, in which it is impossible for God to lie. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was, you know, if you just meditated on that for a few years, it would change your life. Mm-hmm. Take that one home with you. It's impossible for God to lie. Yeah. All of the things that you think right now are impossible, God has given you a word regarding.
Yes.
And it's important. You're trusting in the impossibility of God lying. You need to trust in that more than you're trusting in the impossibility of what you're looking for, whatever happens for you. Come on, somebody. In which it is impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation. That means comfort. The Greek word is paraklesis, and it means the strengthening presence of the comforter, who is, of course, the parakletos, the Holy Spirit, who is God with us. Those who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters. You see, your soul, if you allow it to govern your life, will always want to live in the kingdom of this world. Mm-hmm. According to its dictates, according to its statutes, according to its merciless dealings with your life. But your spirit, man, it finds no place in the kingdom of this world. Your spirit, man, will always and can only function within the kingdom of heaven. Your spirit was reconnected with the Lord so that you could live Christmas Day every day. Man, do you know how hard it is for people to receive the simplicity of this message? Because they've been so programmed, not just by the world, but by the church. That's it. I think, you know, that Jesus even had moments, and it wasn't sin. He went, I don't know if he did something like that, but you can imagine. I'm just giving an expression to something that happens on the inside of you when you encounter this hardness, this evil heart of unbelief. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Rejecting God's word will harden your heart. Will create within you an evil heart of unbelief, and you will no longer be able to access everything that has been made freely available to you in superabundance. Yes. And over the next few days, he's already planning for the Christmas dinner, what she's going to have, and all that stuff. And you know what? Imagine if she spread that table the way she knows how to spread a table, and nobody came and partook of it. How would she feel? Well, she wouldn't feel even minutely like, remotely like, what our Father in Heaven feels like. Yeah. He says he spread a table. Psalm 23 says he spread a table before us, even in the presence of our enemies. That doesn't mean in heaven. That's not the marriage supper of the Lamb. when all of the enemies have been left behind. No, that's in the presence of your enemies. That's right here, right now. Kobo Shakasa, there is a table spread with everything, an abundance, a superabundance of everything you will ever need. And how does it grieve the heart of the Father when we ignore that table, when we go to some poxy feeding trough that the pigs have been sharing with the pigs? Come on! That's when it came into that young man's heart that he was in the wrong place, sharing food with the wrong people. He was at the wrong table. Down there eating the pig's food, he said, "What am I doing here? I know that even the servants in my father's house eat better than this." And he starts to formulate that mess of a religious prayer, and he's like, get up there and head down. No, I needed a new prayer, a prayer of alignment. His father comes running out to him and falls on him. Kisses him. Slobbers all over him. And he's going, "Father, run. He's saying, he didn't even, "Father, not even listen to that mess. He can't listen to that weak, pathetic prayer. Doesn't work in his kingdom, that mess. Come on, don't work that groveling. Don't work!" Father says, "Bring out the best robe. Get on him. Get that ring back on his finger. He used to know who he is. He's got authority in my house. He's part of my family. He hasn't come back to be a servant. He's come back to be my son. My son who was dead is alive again. Let's have a party." He gets new shoes on his feet. These old shoes took him to the wrong place. Make sure they're dancing shoes. We're having a party tonight. Kill the fatted calf. Never mind a turkey. Gobble, gobble, gobble. You know what turkeys do? They go peg on the ground. No. Kill the fatted calf. Bring in the best beef, gobble shaka. It's what we have. It's an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence. Where that one man, once a year, was allowed to go only if he had prepared himself thoroughly. Because if he hadn't, he was a dead man. He was a dead man. But now, we are equipped to enter the presence behind the veil. I thought the veil was ripped in two, but you don't know the Word of God then. There were two veils in the temple. There were two veils. And I tell you, if you're born again, you've come through. The first veil didn't exist anymore. Now you want me to explain all this right now, and we need to keep our focus here. If you don't know about it, you need to find out about it. Because you have been given access to come boldly. Yeah. You know how many people actually take that right seriously? Mm-hmm. Actually employ the right that they've been given?
Yes.
Very, very few. Yeah. And yet here we are, we can come right in. Mm-hmm. Where the forerunner has entered for us. You see, you can't come out from there without what you were asking for.
Right.
I've been coming to church every blessed week for the last 30 years, and none of my prayers are getting answered. Oh, I think it's a disgrace. And that Donny Stewart dares to go up there every week and talk like an alien. I'm going somewhere else. This is the end of that.
Hallelujah.
Because you didn't come in to the presence behind the veil.
Behold.
You didn't understand that you were created to be a worshipper in spirit and in truth. I can lift my hands as good as anybody else. In fact, sometimes when Ali gets the music just the way I like it, sometimes I've even done a wee jig. So don't tell me that I'm not a worshipper. I'll give you you certainly look like a worshipper in spirit sometimes, but Jesus says something else. He said, in truth, you're not in there pursuing truth, the truth that will set you free. So you're still bound and you wonder why. Because you've got to hear what he says, then you just have to act on what he says. And bingo! You like to say that in church, bingo? Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. Oh, look at this. Woohoo! It's different, man. What about a sugar? You need your soul anchored somewhere.
Yes.
Because your soul will take you this way and that way and every other which way. Yes. But in behind the presence.
Amen.
In behind the veil into the presence.
Yes. Yes.
Where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest. See, if this doesn't work, then it's a lie. Yes. But I think we've already settled something that God, it's impossible for God to lie.
Yes.
You have to settle it.
Yes.
This is the truth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because if this isn't the truth, let's just go to the pub, folks. Let's have a Christmas party.
Yeah.
Come on. Ah, well, tomorrow we'll have to suffer for it. But anyway, that's what this world's all about, isn't it? Suffering, isn't it?
Yeah.
So let's just join everybody else. Let's try to squeeze a little bit of enjoyment out of one day. No, Christmas Day, every day. Heaven on earth. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Perfect shalom. Peace on earth. Good will towards men. Days of the good and acceptable and perfect will of God being outworked in our lives every day. Why? Because we're worshippers in spirit and truth, because that's what the Father's looking for.
Yeah.
Even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Well, if you go off on that. Let me just say this, and there's much more to this, but I'm going to have to stop here. We are now part of that royal priesthood, which is not a priesthood of the law. We are now priests that dispense the blessing of the covenant of grace everywhere we go. Come on, somebody. We are not here to march up to people and stick a finger in their face and start accusing them under the law. We carry an invitation from our kingdom to their kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was difficult times in this island over the years, and you know what one of the remedies for that was? Getting on a boat and emigrating.
Mm-hmm.
And leaving the harshness of the bare fingers rubbed down to the bone, trying to eat a living out of land that there was too many people on to try, because people had big houses, they had one croft, and a croft was on that tiny little portion of land anyway, and it wasn't that friendly when it came to producing produce anyhow. You couldn't keep that many animals. If you had 10 of a family, only one of them was going to get the croft. There wasn't a lot of hope in all of that. So what was the hope that was presented to them? Here's a free passage to another land.
Yes.
A land of opportunity.
Yes.
Here you can emigrate. And many of those who took that, made that decision and got on that boat and went to the other side of the Atlantic, or some to Australia and to New Zealand, they discovered that there truly was opportunity there for a new life, a different life. Can anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
Well, that's just a pathetic picture of what we're talking about here today. To make that transfer, to emigrate from the kingdom of this world into this parallel kingdom, the kingdom of heaven,
right,
where it's Christmas Day every day. I said there's more to this, there's much more I could say, but let's stand up together, because time has gone. Hallelujah. Father, oh Father, oh Rabbi Sharabadi Sakamunsa. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, thank you, Father, thank you, Father. You so greatly love and dearly prize the world that you sent the remedy, the Redeemer, the Lamb of God, slain from before the foundation of the world. Your contingency plan to redeem us and restore us back.
Thank you, Lord.
Not just to where you'd originally placed that first man, but beyond that. Beyond that. Thank you. When you restore, you don't restore just to the former glory.
Yeah.
Lord, you have levels of glory that we haven't even begun to imagine. Oh, hallelujah. So, Father, I pray, Lord, if anyone here today, Lord, or anyone maybe even listening to this at a later time online, is recognized today that they're still living below their inheritance, still living in that kingdom of this world, trying to make it as a believer, trying to make it as a child of God in the wrong place, just like the prodigal son. I pray that today they would take the opportunity to emigrate, to move kingdoms, to realign themselves with your throne, to realign themselves with your kingdom, that they might come up into that place of experiencing Christmas Day every day.
Yes.
Days of shalom. Jesus. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Days of heaven on earth as your good and perfect will is outworked in our lives.
Yes.
For your glory, for yours is the kingdom. And yours is the power, and yours is the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah.